Welcome now to the midday for Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland. One of the great piano concertos of the 20th century, it really has something for everyone, is the third piano concerto, Concerto in C by Sergei Prokofiev, and it's included in this weekend's program with the Madison Symphony, also on the bill, Aaron J. Kernis, Newly Drawn Sky, and Robert Schumann's Symphony No. 2, but the centerpiece is that Prokofiev piano concerto, the soloist for which is Joyce Young, and welcome to the midday.
Thank you so much.
It's, as I said, it's got something for everybody. It's a crowd pleaser of a piano concerto. I mean, it's immediately likable, I think, by virtually anybody who hears it. It caught on fairly quickly back in 1922-23 after its American debut, first performed in Chicago in 1921. But it's got to be a handful for the pianist, too.
It has its extreme challenges, and I'm actually really grateful that I fell in love with it so early in my life, and I became totally obsessed with it at age 12.
Oh, 12.
And it was one of those pieces I said to my teacher, this is the piece I want to learn. And she said, you know, it's way too hard for you, and I don't think your hands are big enough. So I remember her circling certain places in the piece, and she said, if you can play these sections, then maybe you have a chance. And I just learned it day and night, and then I brought it to her, and I was like, I have it. I learned the whole thing. And so actually the first performance of the first movement of this piece was day before my 13th birthday with the Philadelphia Orchestra of all orchestras.
Wow.
Because I entered a competition, and that was the prize. If you win the competition, you get to play with the Philadelphia Orchestra. So that's really one of the very first concerto experiences I remember as a kid.
I'd say that's jumping in with both hands, certainly. Was that at all daunting for you? I mean, you were very much, as you say, you know, the concerto was kind of your world for a while there. But is there a little bit of an edge there when you're at the age of 13 playing with the Philadelphia Orchestra?
There is it was a moment where I was basically fearless. I remember going into that rehearsal and not nervous at all. And I remember hearing that sounds coming out of the orchestra. And I was thinking to myself, oh, it kind of sounds like the CD I have at home, you know. But
which CD was that? Was it that at all like a prototype for you, or how did you approach it?
You know, I can't even remember which CD it was. We owned very, very little. I must have had like five or six, and before I knew to compare recordings or anything like that. And but I do remember telling the conductor, you know, the orchestra's a little bit behind. Can they, you know?
You wanted to speed it up.
Catch up.
And it's
Let's
fast.
Go a little faster. This bold little kid, you know, without any holding back.
So what did you do with your hand span? I mean, at the age of 13, there had to be some pretty broad intervals there that you had to cover.
Yeah, I think certain things were extremely uncomfortable, and many things I had to roll instead of block chords, or flip your hands. So instead of going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it was 1, 3, 5, and I would flip the hand and it would be 1 again.
What all those scales are so good for.
But, you know, after all these years, those fingerings kind of stuck, and they're impossible to change now after 20 years of playing it exactly. And I know there, some of them are really child fingerings, but it's sort of like the tune you learned as a kid. It's if you change a little bit, you'll only go back to the original version. So, but you know, interpretation wise, it's come probably a long way, and many changes, many chapters through different orchestras and different experiences.
What are listeners likely to hear this weekend, though, in terms of the latest Joyce Young interpretation of the Prokofiev Third Piano Concerto?
I think it became quite romantic along the way. In the beginning, it was quite lean, and then you find a lot of emotion and incredible emotional strength within the piece, and it turned into something very romantic in my mind. And And then it took a different turn last year, and it became a little bit more lean again. It's like all the, for some reason, the leaves of the branch fell off, and maybe the branch becomes more prominent in a way in my mind. And I think you have to go through that process to that emotional embellishment that you add, and then you come back to the bare bones of what the composer wrote, and somehow it becomes more bold, and actually you don't need anything else except for what he wrote, and being true to the composer and the will and the tempi he wrote, and really noticing markings, like you're studying it for the first time, you know, much more loyally as a student to his art. And so I found that the piece has an incredible heartbeat to it that cannot be shaken. There is something very final about this piece, that pulsating heart, that's that sort of life within that just pulls you through the entire piece, that kind of doesn't let you go. It's almost a little scary, all those the drama and all that sort of deeply embedded in this heartbeat. So hopefully it'll be it'll have that incredible arc throughout the piece, and the excitement, and also very important in this piece, in my opinion, is the mystique. There's a dream quality to it. There's a fantasy quality to it that leaves everyday life and makes you ask yourself, where are we? It's suddenly you go into this, the mist and the smoke comes out, and you're flying somewhere you've never been, only to be pulled back to earth by this gravity.
Yeah, it has this quality of exploration to it.
Yes.
You know, opening dimensions and that kind of thing. It's really, as I say, it's got a lot of different things going on. But the pulse, you're right, it's certainly throbs all the way through.
Yes, and within there's so much also dark humor and sarcasm. There's incredible wit in there that he puts in, kind of almost as a evil tone to it that you want it to resolve, but he just abandons it. And, you know, there's a little wink and a smile at the end of it. So it's just miraculous in many ways.
Well, speaking of things romantic, you've recorded various romantic works, including Carnival by Robert Schumann, and we'll hear some of that toward the end of Carnival. And what's going on here, these closely connected little pieces by Schumann?
I've been a big fan of Schumann's Carnival. Actually, in the last few years, I've worked with the Aspen Santa Fe Ballet to come up with a new choreography for Schumann's Carnival. And we are doing performances with choreographer Jorma Elo, that created this spectacular work for piano on stage with dancers, interacting with the piano, with myself.
That's
and
different.
Yes, it's a bold project, and it was 4 years in making. And it's very exciting. And this really, what you're about to hear is really the heart of Carnival in my mind. It's so the piece is really about the composer's multi-personality illuminated in the best way, where he just reveals one character after another about himself, about those around him, and sometimes linked to the characters of Carnival, but all interwoven so incredibly, one nestled one after another, and we go through many different doors into his psyche, so many changes, so many colors, and just one miraculous work altogether.
Thank you.
some of Schumann's Carnival with those contrasting personalities that he did so well musically. Now, speaking of contrast, those performances were by my guest today, Joyce Young, who's going to be performing the Prokofiev Third Piano Concerto with the Madison Symphony this weekend. Speaking of things crossing over, we were talking about synesthesia and this association, kind of hardwired in the way you think of music and colors.
Yeah, I think maybe because I learned to play the piano at an early age, I always associated certain colors with sounds. They say all babies' senses are sort of tangled together mm-hmm. when we're born, and then as we learn different things, they become individual things. And for me, colors and sounds sort of stuck together, and certain key centers like E flat major is the strongest key in my mind because it has the strongest color association. D major, G major. So all these tonal centers have colors, and they help me to learn music and think about music. And I sometimes can tag certain passages, certain notes with color and color scheme so I can remember it better than just remembering what notes they are.
What color is E-flat?
E-flat major is it's a royal velvet red. Wow. It's very soft but strong at the same time to the touch. So maybe it has a touch quality too. It's definitely a different senses coming together.
What color is Tchaikovsky's piano concerto? Which we're about to hear.
Well, it's a B-flat minor. Minor keys are a bit problematic. I only see colors with major keys, but minor keys are sort of in the, it's in the shadows, and it could just morph into many different things. But B-flat major would be it's color of the French horn in my mind, but B flat minor. Yes, but a little bit brighter. There's a buttery shine to it. Well polished, that's right. But B flat minor is something very different. It definitely has that that drama, I would say. It's many shades of maybe dark green or slate gray or something a lot darker.
Well, okay, we'll see how that, if those colors emerge for us as we hear the finale that you've recorded. And this is from a performance that features, the Odense Symphony with Alexander Lazarev conducting.
Yep.
The finale of Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto in B-flat minor. The extra excitement of a concert performance, Joyce Young, in the finale there, although she recorded the entire Piano Concerto No. 1 in B-flat minor of Tchaikovsky. And advantages and disadvantages before we hear a bit, and we'll delay our quiz question just a couple of minutes for this. Advantages and disadvantages of these concert performances? Does everybody go back and fix them after the fact and that kind of thing, or no?
This recording had no patch session after the concert. We had a pre-concert session where all the things that might go wrong, we would be rehearsing them, and they recorded that. But this was two concerts that were recorded, and we just chose one movement here, one movement there. And with the audience, of course, the adrenaline flow is just over the top. And so all the very virtuosic things have that extra edge. But of course, it's not going to be 100% sparkling clean. So it's a give and take. But I really like these live performance recordings that go well, that can end up on recordings. That's truly how music is made in one sweep. So We had fun.
You know, I mean, as Beethoven did say, in fact, you know, it's the spirit is more important than literally which notes you hit sometimes.
Yes.
And that does tend to come out in these concert recordings above all.
Yes, the bigger picture.
Yeah. Well, let's, as I said, we'll delay our quiz question for just a couple of minutes to scale things down for one more from Joyce Young, my guest today.
This is one of my favorite Scarlatti sonatas in D major. It's a piece I featured at the Cliburn competition in 2005 that really changed my life after 2 weeks there. Everyone wanted to come hear me, which was just a big shock at the age of 19. So
youngest competitor at that point, right?
That's correct.
Van Cliburn, yes. So double congratulations there. And this is one of the pieces you played?
This is one of the pieces I played and was recorded and turned into a disc. And D major sonata by Scarlatti, full of incredible whimsy. And it's just a pleasure to hear it every time I revisit.
Young with a sonata in D by Domenico Scarlatti, son of Alessandro Scarlatti, and one of the great keyboard composers of all time. And they're recorded 2005 at the Van Cliburn International Competition.
Important year for me.
And a good year for Scarlatti, too, I would say.
Thank you.
Joyce will be playing the Prokofiev Third Piano Concerto with the Madison Symphony this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. And that's something to look forward to also. And thanks for stopping by and giving us some insights into your music making.
Thank you so much. It was great being here.